This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to The Complete Guide to Everything, a podcast about everything. I'm one of your hosts, Tom.
And I'm Tim.
Tim, how are you doing this week?
Tom, it's hard for you to tell because we're not in the same room.
Yeah, once again, separated by technology. I mean, yeah. if you hadn't said anything, probably nobody would even know, Tim.
I know. Maybe we should cut that part out. And then people would just be like, man, there's just weird pauses in between when they talk for no reason. Oh, they keep interrupting each other.
Well, we interrupt each other anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Tom, I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. I'm in my own home. Mm-hmm. And you're in your own home. Mm-hmm. And nobody needs to know why. We'll be back in person next week.
Yeah.
We're both healthy. Neither of us.
Neither of us are sick. Just, yeah. I have a pending restraining order against you.
I know, and I think the judge will rightfully throw it out, and I'll be back on your doorstep 1 week from today.
I mean, I was told you can't have a restraining order that is only valid when you're not recording a podcast. So I got the regular one, and they were like, yeah, this is fine. I'm like, well, no, he has to be allowed to come over when we record. It's just I don't want to bother him any other time.
Yeah.
I don't want him coming over if I'm not getting paid.
That's true. But, like, I think I'm a good guest in your home. I take my shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
When I come in and I take my shoes off, would you prefer I don't take my shoes off if I'm not wearing socks?
No. I would just prefer you to wear socks in my home.
I know, but sometimes I'm not going to wear socks in the summertime. What am I, a sadist?
Yeah, wear socks with...
A masochist?
Well, what are you wearing sandals or flip-flops or something?
I'm wearing boat shoes. I was raised on a boat.
You weren't raised on a boat. I know where you were raised.
You've never been there.
You can come over my house barefoot. I wouldn't be thrilled about it, but I mean,
I've done it. Is that why you don't want me in your home recording? Is that why you're just like, no, stay at home?
Look, we'll Tim, you'll find out on our court date. Until then, I've been told just to, not let you in at all costs.
I love that the restraining order is a surprise. You want to really wow everybody with the reason why you've taken it up.
If I give you too much information about it, Tim, you're going to find ways to weasel around the edges.
That's true. Tom, enough of this frivolity. I have news about something that we are, I think, the experts on and people really tune in to hear about.
Okay.
I got some foo news, Tom. Some Foo Fighters news.
Okay, yeah.
All the foos that fit to print.
Can't get enough of it.
Foos news. Foo fight news. News fighters. Ooh, how about that?
Yeah, there you go. News fighters.
Yeah. Tom, the Foo Fighters are back.
Yeah.
They're touring... Is this ill-advised? They're doing, like, stadium shows for, like 50,000 people at once.
I mean, I think everybody right now, they're going by what local authorities say.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people are protesting them, like, for requiring vaccinations, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, if they're requiring vaccinations, then they should be good.
Yeah, I think so, too. They played a show in Los Angeles, Tom. Mm-hmm. I think it was Los Angeles.
The City of Angels.
And guess what? Taylor Hawkins, their drummer, looks like he might be out of a job.
What?
No, not in a good way. Not in a way that, like, oh, maybe they'll be good again. But did you hear about this 11-year-old girl named Nandy that challenged Dave Grohl to a virtual drum-off last summer?
Uh-huh.
It was a great quarantine thing. Right. It was probably
people were looking for a little something to cheer them up.
Yeah.
Make them smile. You
know, I was going to call it wholesome, but don't you hate how everything that isn't like
sexy
hardcore anything that isn't hardcore pornography, people are on the internet are like, oh, that's so wholesome.
Yeah.
Ooh, what a wholesome thing.
Oh, the Red Shoe Diaries are so wholesome because it's not hardcore sex, it's just softcore.
I don't know the names of all the softcore pornography like you do, Tom. I was gonna try to come up with one myself.
Sometimes I remember as a kid watching softcore pornography on HBO, and sometimes it was just so obvious that it's like, that's not even me as like a 14-year-old boy knows that isn't how sex works. You can't do it that way.
Tom, you were wise beyond your
years. The angles didn't make sense.
I know. It wasn't about that, Tom. They weren't trying to fool anybody.
I was trying to be fooled.
Yeah. I'm sure it was not a problem, though. I'm sure, like, everything turned out just the way you wanted.
Ultimately, it was fine.
So they brought out this 11-year-old at the show, right? So she beat him in the drum off the wholesome meme last year. I think he's probably actually a better drummer than the 11-year-old girl, but we'll never know.
Right? You think he was sandbagging it?
Yeah, I think so.
Or do you think he was is this going to be the story, Tim? It was like he was what do you call it when you're like being a ringer? Is it just being a ringer?
Oh, I know what you're
hustling.
Talking about. Hustling.
Yeah. Do you think he was like, yeah, I'll let her think she's a better drummer during the quarantine, but as soon as this shit's over, I'm going to get this little girl in front of the biggest audience possible and destroy her at drums once and for all.
That would have been cool. He didn't even, he didn't even go near the drums.
That would have been cool. That would have been such a bummer. How would you enjoy the rest of the show if you just watch this, like, man in his 50s?
Well, just, number one, if you watch the video, Tom, they had her up to play Everlong with them.
Okay.
She did a really good job, but it was their closer. It was, I think, it was like the last song of the encore.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if she beefed it, which, like, you don't know if an 11-year-old girl is good at playing drums in front. She beefed it. Then what are they going to do for their closer? They just slink off the stage. I think that shows that Dave Grohl actually had a lot of faith in this.
Yeah, a lot of confidence in her.
Yeah. Anyway, they brought her out. It was really nice. Taylor Hawkins, the Foo Fighters drummer, sat there doing nothing. She was on a set that, like, a drum kit that was her size, and so Taylor Hawkins stayed behind his drums. Mm-hmm. And, like, I feel like if she, like, beefed it, dropped her sticks or something, that guy's a pro. He could have started drumming, right?
Yeah, or at least probably doing the like the thing that the Rolling Stones have, where it's like they have another band behind them playing everything.
Tom, this is not the week.
Well, they
Watts
certainly
was...
do now.
Yeah,
Tim. I mean, unless they're gonna pull some kind of a Weekend at Bernie's situation with old Charlie, which I don't think he deserves that.
No, I don't think so either. He wouldn't stand for that. His ghost would come back and, like, beat the shit out of Mick Jagger.
But, like, the other guy, like, Keith Richards had, like, somebody behind him playing, right?
I don't know. I think people see
fuller sound.
Yeah, but that's not cheating.
Yeah.
Like, when you hear a band album, oftentimes they're, a lot of different tracks of things going on. And when you have, so much money to put on a real big stadium tour, you can hire other musicians to fill out the sound.
Sometimes some of those tracks, Tim, you play them backwards and it's the devil giving you messages.
I know. Yeah.
So if you ask me,
the devil communicates with me through a lot of different channels, not just records.
If you ask me, they should that's why they should not allow them to make so many tracks. Because at some point, they start getting the cocky and they're like, really? We have more room for more tracks? Well, let's let the devil have a word or two.
Yeah, let
on
me
this
call
album.
Up my friend the devil and see if he wants to put send some backwards coded messages
send,
in
send
there.
Any messages to our easily influenced teen listeners.
Yeah, that's who do you think the Rolling Stones on their album A Bigger Bang in like 2007 had a lot of teens rushing out to buy it?
Yeah. They were like, these teens were too young when Bridges to Babylon came out, but but now they're prime age. That's why they've been kicking around for so long, Tim.
I mean, honestly, nobody is more susceptible to that stuff than boomers. Like, we didn't realize that, but like, oh, a message from some random person just telling them what to do, they'll just follow it? Cool.
Yeah, I guess that's true. The boomers were telling us all along, like, listen, we're easily influenced by media. If some media comes out and it tells us to believe something, we'll just blindly do it because how else could they have gotten away with doing this if it weren't true?
Yeah. Before you know, they're all screaming about kidnapping the governor.
Yeah. Well, I mean, these same, and, you know, it also makes sense why all these boomers, when we were kids, they were like, the internet's bad. The internet's evil. Like, it's full of people trying to trick you and you know, kidnap you and stuff. And once again, it turned out that it was just they were worried about themselves. Like, well, once computers get easy enough for us to use it, once I don't have to fool around with Netscape Navigator anymore, then I'm going to be susceptible to all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Chrome hit the streets, and now they're all taking freaking horseworm medicine.
Yeah, they were like, oh, I liked Chrome when it was on a Harley Davidson motorcycle. I thought that was pretty cool.
Or a 57 Chevy.
Yeah.
The fender of that.
So finally, they're making an app for me.
Yeah, just sucked them in. Tom, so I was watching this Foo Fighters video.
Uh-huh.
On YouTube.com.
I hope it wasn't bootlegged.
I couldn't find an official. Well, no, Nandy had an official.
Tim, if you can't
version.
Find an official one, then you wait.
I think Dave Grohl videotapes everything he and the band ever does, right?
I mean, if I were the lead in a band that big, like, why not? Like, you know, it's so little, such a small amount of money compared to the rest of putting everything on. Like, yeah, why wouldn't you just record everything?
Yeah. Actually, when Nirvana was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. they performed at the Barclays Center. Dave Grohl didn't set up those cameras. I think HBO set up those cameras. But remember, they played an after show at a bar in Greenpoint where we knew the owners of the bar.
Yeah, St. Vitus.
I was talking to them about it afterwards, and they were like, oh, yeah, like all day Dave Grohl's people came in here and were just wired. Like, there were like 100 cameras in here, and everything was like wired for sound. Like, they got that in prison. But, like, that was, what, like 5 or 6 years ago? Nothing happened with that.
Yeah. Well, just in case you wanted to do, like, a bullet time thing or something, get enough cameras.
I want to see Nirvana in bullet time. That's what everybody's been screaming about.
Look, I know they can't get Kurt Cobain back, but if they could at least get bullet time, then it
that
might be
more
worth
than
a
makes
listen.
Up for it. Yeah, no, that's better. Like, that's what... Kurt Cobain would still be with us today if they could have perfected bullet time. He would have been like, well, this is my artistic vision.
Yeah, I mean, I assume all those bands, you know, they're sitting on that shit until we're, you know, in our 60s. And then they're like, hey, guess what? We're selling video cubes of our after show. And
I'll buy that video cube.
You're going to have to trade NFTs to get it.
Tom, Nobody knows what that is. NFTs really fell off the scene, huh?
No, they're back. They're back bigger than ever.
They're not back.
Tim, Tom, I told you not to throw out all your NFTs.
I'm sorry. I trashed them. I dragged them all to the recycling
bin.
Well,
hopefully you haven't emptied the recycling bin yet. You'll be able to get those NFTs back.
So I'm watching the YouTube video. YouTube comments are wild, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Have you not been on the internet before?
So this one guy writes in the comments, like, everybody's like, oh, a lot of people saying this is so wholesome or whatever. A lot of people are like, wow, this is a great, she's doing a great job. She did do a great job.
Yeah.
Somebody in the comments wrote, how on earth is an 11-year-old that good at anything? She isn't great for an 11-year-old. She is great for a professional. Mm-hmm. Right? And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. Somebody replied, it's not that hard to teach kids to be good at things. Teaching her to be good at the drums is the same as teaching a 4-year-old how to shoot a gun, although I would never do that.
What? I mean, I would assume it's also very hard to teach a 4-year-old how to shoot a gun, and why is that?
And this guy claims that, you know, it's not that hard, but he doesn't know because he would never do that. And then I went back to look at that comment, and it was gone like a day later.
Ah.
So I think that guy might have taught a 4-year-old how to shoot a gun and then was like, and let me just...
You know what? I don't want to be accused of being a liar online.
Yeah.
Or maybe he did it and it turned out teaching a 4-year-old to shoot a gun was a lot harder than he thought.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Tom, those are all the headlines from our new weekly segment, News Fighters.
Tim, this week, a topic I can't believe we've discussed it, but we've never done a show about it.
Foo Fighters, right?
No, Tim, we did a show about the Foo Fighters. It's one of our most beloved episodes.
Acclaimed. Critically acclaimed. It's got a 100% Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics and 100% from the audience.
Tim, all I care about is the score from the fans. I don't care about critics.
Yeah, if we listened to the critics, Tom, we wouldn't even be here today.
Actually, like, any time a critic's ever covered our show, it's been complimentary and nice.
Yeah.
I think because any critic that
we can't say the same for the listeners.
Yeah. I think because any critic that was going to, like, rip us apart probably just felt bad before they did it.
Yeah, just like, we don't need to do that. Like, why would I give these guys any attention?
Life will take care of these guys. We don't need to. They can feel
worse.
Guess
what? It hasn't yet.
Yeah, suckers. We're doing all right.
We're still. Hey, for those of you who would love to see our demise, we got news for you. We ain't going anywhere.
We got news for you. Stay tuned, because it hasn't happened yet, but it will eventually.
We got news for you, news about the Foo Fighters, every week in our new segment, News Fighters.
And often it will just be like, that's pretty good Foo Fighters news, an 11-year-old joining them on stage.
Yeah, I mean, that was like picked up by like local news stations. Have you watched the local news lately?
No.
So they'll do things like, a child played with the Foo Fighters, and like that'll be
on
like...
on the other side of the country.
That'll be at like 6:07 on the 6 o'clock news. We'll cover Afghanistan, the global pandemic, and then a rock concert. Not
people,
in our city.
People like feel good stories, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, this week we're talking Best Buy.
I like feeling good in general, Tim. Oh, sorry, Best Buy.
Best Buy. A place where some might feel pretty good.
Yeah. Tom, I would say for a while in your life, Best Buy was where you would go to unwind.
Yeah, there certainly was a time in my life, and it probably still would be a time in my life if it weren't difficult to get to a Best Buy. I mean, I guess it's not. I'm within walking distance of a Best Buy.
Tom, you can get to a Best Buy without getting in a car. You could be there in 13 to 16 minutes, I think.
Wow, you see, Tim, now you're giving everybody, now everybody's on their computer putting in a 13 to 16 mile minute radius of all the Best Buys in New York, trying to pin down.
They don't know I'm talking about the Atlantic terminal version.
God, Tim, now they do. Now people are going to be walking that perimeter of the 13 to 16. Just
go, Tom. Tom, like, why would anybody want to find you?
I don't know.
I need an opinion about the Foo Fighters. Let me find Tom.
I can't wait until next Sunday night. I need to know now.
The News Fighters segment.
Yeah, there was a time where it wasn't necessarily, what did you refer to it as? A place where I would relax?
Yeah, where you'd go to unwind.
I mean, I guess maybe you're right. Maybe it was. It was a place I would go when it was like, I want to go someplace, but I don't know where.
Yeah, I guess it kind of got replaced by bars at some point. But yeah. Like, I remember like in the summertime or like in the evening on like a school night when we were in high school, getting a call from you and you'd call up AJ and you'd call up Dan and be like, hey, anybody want to take a drive over to Best Buy?
Yeah, because when you're a teenager,
you didn't have anything to buy. You could peruse video games, electronics.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, CDs.
Yep.
You know, there was so much
Tim,
under one.
You didn't even mention appliances and car stereos.
I mean, none of us were in the. Imagine we were like 17-year-old boys, like, check out this blender.
Imagine we were like 17-year-old, like four of us 17-year-old boys, like, we're interested in this refrigerator. Can you tell us about all of its features? And now the delivery, is that free? And the setup, now will you take care of the old refrigerator that we have that we all split in our boys' home? Yeah, Tim.
We should have gotten in on a boys' home.
I remember as a kid telling my parents, I was like, you suckers, the day I turn 18, I'm out of here. Like, I'll still be in high school, but the day I turn 18, I'm moving into my own apartment. And they were like, that's fine.
Please, my God.
And then,
you think we're not counting down the days as well?
And then right after college, I was like, well, you won me over. I'm going to move back in. I don't have a job or anywhere else to live. So I guess you guys win. I'll keep living here and eating all the food and staying out all night and sleeping all day. If that's what you guys really want. Yeah, Best Buy as a teen, especially. I don't know. Like, where do teens hang out? Like, even when we were teens, like, where did teens hang out?
The woods?
Yeah. It was either the woods. I mean, we would go hang out in the woods sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, there was nowhere, like, too... I mean, we needed the Max in our town.
Yeah,
we
or didn't like have an arcade or something.
Yeah. Part of me is just like, oh, we should all move to the suburbs, me and you and all of our friends, and open a bunch of places where teens can hang out. But
yeah,
I think
should
that's
open
all
a bunch of teen centers.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. There were Dave and Buster's at the time, but we never...
Well, I was going to say, like, where could you go as a teen with no money? Or even, you know, just not wanting to spend money and just hang out? Because I think that was the biggest thing, that it was like, I don't know, none of us had, like... just like endless disposable cash.
Yeah. I mean,
or that we wanted to spend on dumb shit. Like,
yeah,
I think when we were teenagers, it was like, oh, I want to, I'm saving this $20 because some DVD or CD is coming out next week. And that's what I want.
Yeah. I think they're, And that's why we're going to Best Buy. Sorry, I was just thinking about where I think certain teens are involved in like sports or clubs or something or hobbies, but we didn't have any of those.
No, I mean, I played a decent amount of sports, but even like the worst you know, like practice is still over by like 6 p.m. And then it's like, well, freaking now what? And especially during the summer. I mean, I think that's mostly what it was. It was like during the summer, it's like even I think most of us had like summer jobs, like full-time jobs. It was still like there's so many hours to fill.
Yeah. Remember that? And it was just like, oh, well, so, you know, whoever's parents were away, we could go drink beers in their backyard.
Right. But that's rare.
Yeah.
And even that when we would go to like restaurants or Dave and Buster's or something, it's like, all right, well, we went there for like 3 hours. Now what?
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to.
Everybody there was pissed at us the whole time because we were loud and obnoxious.
I mean, we're going to stay out like all night. So we need to like really, really find ways to fill the time. And that's what Best Buy did.
Yeah.
Did you buy a lot of CDs from Best Buy? I feel like they always had real shitty CD prices.
Yeah, it was. I mean, we had an independent record store
right
in the next town over that was great. And they had like bootlegs and stuff too.
Right. And much better prices.
Yeah. So like, no, I didn't go and spend like $22 on like a Not a Surf record in 1998.
Or like a Van Halen Greatest Hits.
Yeah, I don't know why I picked on Not a Surf. I mean, I doubt that Best Buy even... Maybe they had that one that had Popular on it.
They had... I feel like towards the end of Best Buy carrying CDs, they had like imports and stuff. But like the imports were like insanely priced.
Yeah. But that might be one of the only places you can go to get a Foo Fighters My Hero single that also had a CD CD-ROM component that had the Everlong video as a QuickTime file on it.
Yeah, exactly, Tim. You took the words right out of my mouth. What do you think is different about the Best Buy experience as a teen compared to the Best Buy experience today?
I think when you're a teen...
Mm-hmm.
You have a much higher tolerance for bullshit. And also,
as a teen, you'll deal with bullshit all day.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah.
You got all day. You have all the time in the world. And also, like, every Best Buy employee who's, like, working on commission or whatever can spot a teen a mile away who's not going to do a goddamn thing for them. So, like, we were left alone. Now, unless you know what you need, but, like, you know, people are trying to just be like, hey, you want to look at this?
Well, that's the problem. People like me and you, we walk into a Best Buy today, and they're like, ooh, I can sell this idiot a washer dryer. Look at this.
And every time I fall for
look
it.
Look at this boring-ass schmuck.
They just see that our clothes are dirty and wet.
I'm gonna put this guy through the ringer to sell him a dryer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess that's probably the biggest difference is that, nowadays they're like, I could probably, like, I've been in a Best Buy, like, looking at something on my phone, and it'll be like last year's phone, and they'll be like, oh, what is that, an iPhone 7, idiot? We have iPhone 8. You should buy an iPhone 8. Like, what? Yeah. No. I'm looking up the price of this on Amazon to see if I should buy it from them instead.
I think it's also, you know, I think we have changed, definitely, but I think Best Buy has also changed. I think the employees that we encountered in 1997...
You don't think it's the same people?
No, because they're young. Yeah, it's not. There's
a lot,
not really
a lot of Best
track.
Buy lifers out there, Tim.
But they were being paid the same wage that they're being paid now in 2021, 24 years later. It didn't exactly keep up with inflation, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So you're saying Best Buy employees nowadays don't care as much.
Nor should they.
Yeah.
They're not being paid enough to care.
You're just saying that to save, you know, our Best Buy employee audience. Employees out there that were about to be like, you know what, screw this guy, Tim. But then he said, oh, they shouldn't care. It's fine. I'll keep listening.
You work for a Best Buy. Mm-hmm. Email us. and we'll make sure that you're taken care of.
What does that mean?
Tom,
why are we making sure they're taken care of instead of the other way around? What are we going to do for them?
What do you mean?
How about this? If you work for Best Buy, email us. You scratch our back, we'll scratch yours.
Yeah, that's kind of what I meant, Tom, but I wasn't trying to make it that explicit.
You got to make it explicit, Tim. Otherwise, these people are going to be emailing us, what can you do for me?
Yeah.
And what are you going to
do? This is what you reply. Depends. What are you going to do for me?
Yeah.
See?
Oh, I see. That's how that works, huh?
Yeah, but then we have their email address already, you know, like.
So we can blackmail them. We can be like, we'll go to the CEO of Best Buy with this evidence.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be able to. Actually, if somebody came to me and they were like, Tim sent me this email. I mean, probably I would find some way to make it right for them. Like, I'm sorry he did that. I'm sorry he made these outlandish promises to you. All in the efforts for him to just get a discounted washer dryer. Honestly, I don't know why he needs another one of those. You know, they get them every time.
They get me every time, and I wind up flipping them, but for less than I paid for them.
Right. Well, you've bought into what the salespeople tell you, which is, you know, you got to buy a new washer and dryer every year.
Yeah.
They become
obsolete.
I buy
new clothes every year. Yeah.
You buy new clothes. Well, I took that to mean you replace your entire wardrobe every year.
I've been buying a lot of t-shirts lately, Tom, but I don't think I've bought any actual clothes since 2015, maybe.
Yeah, sometimes I'll look at clothes, or I'll see like an old picture, and I'll be like, wow, I've had that shirt for a very long time, huh?
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'll look at a picture, I'll be like, wow, that pair of underwear, that's really been around for a while, huh?
You gotta stop taking so many underwear pictures of yourself, Tom.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective, unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Tim, I was doing some, so far there's been a pretty subjective view of Best Buy.
I don't think so.
And people usually come to us for an objective view of topics.
They come to learn.
So I found on corporate.bestbuy.com.
Okay.
Not just regular bestbuy.com. An article entitled Five Things You Never Knew About Best Buy. Or did you? I don't know why it needs that. Like,
you know what? I appreciate
that. Is that supposed
that,
to creep me out?
I don't know. Nothing pisses me off more than when some clickbait website is like, 10 things you didn't notice about Home Alone. And they're just like plot points. And it's like, Don't tell me I didn't notice that they threw out the goddamn plane tickets. It's a children's movie. And there's a whole like 5-second shot about it. They show you like... Don't tell me I didn't notice this. You didn't notice this, you idiot.
Yeah, and they're like little musical cues, you know, or of like, oh, uh-oh, danger. Anyway, this was posted 5 years ago. Tim, I don't know if this is why the gods deemed that we do a show about Best Buy this week, because Best Buy's anniversary just passed.
The devil deemed it. I heard it in a Rolling Stones album.
Tim, I don't know if you've been listening to a Rolling Stones album backwards and the devil told you we need to do an episode about Best Buy this week. But they just had their anniversary on August 22nd.
Happy birthday, Best Buy. How old are they?
55 years young.
Wow. That's older than the two of us put together.
That's not true. But this is an article from, I guess this is how they really celebrated their 50th anniversary with a bang, by posting to their blog, Five Things You Never Knew About Best Buy. And boy, this is a boring company. The first thing is, we weren't always called Best Buy. From 1966 to 1983, they were known as Sound of Music. Yep.
You know what?
Like the movie, it says.
Well, they shouldn't admit that. Now they're going to get sued.
Was that what you were going to add?
No, I was going to say, look, if you were called something else,
yeah,
sorry, I'm counting Best Buy's existence starting from when they started calling themselves Best Buy. So Best Buy is younger than us, Tom.
Oh, by that account, because they started in 1983.
If it's not called Best Buy, I don't care what the corporate parent, how old that is.
I mean, I will
say... When did the sign go up?
I will say, like, obviously, it doesn't mention in here, but obviously they changed their name because they didn't just sell music anymore. They were selling consumer electronics. So it's probably a combination of like their lawyers being like, wait a minute, you can't just name the company after a famous movie. And also, if it's called The Sound of Music, nobody's going to come in here looking to buy a refrigerator.
Yeah.
But Best Buy.
They should be The Sound of Music and Things to Keep Your Groceries Chilled.
And more.
And more. And a machine to launder your clothes and then dry them.
More stores should be called this, you know, whatever the store is, and more. Because that's what entices you. Like, well, I got to see what else. You know, they've got some stuff they, for one reason or another, don't want to put on the sign. And I got to see what it is. Maybe it's, you know, illegal goods. Maybe
like is that the Beyond in Bed Bath & Beyond is like drugs?
Yeah, or just like hot goods, you know, stuff that it's fell like off the back of the truck.
Stolen housewares, yeah, it's a lot cheaper. There's no tax on it.
Yeah, if you go in the back, they have stolen bed sheets that they only sell in cash. Number two, they were early to the gift card game. We introduced our first plastic gift card back in 1995, making us one of the first retailers to do so. Today, our tag-shaped card is said to be the only gift card in the industry that consumers can identify with their eyes closed. Who says that? Somebody at Best Buy?
Yeah. I guess. I don't know. I've never had to. Would you be able to identify that if I handed you, but if I said, close your eyes?
Now I would, because I would be like, oh, yeah, it's got the little cutout. Sure.
Yeah. Like a tag.
Yeah.
You know what? You know, I know something ironic. Their whole logo is based around a price tag.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find a dang price tag on anything in that place.
You can't?
Not like the ones that like you affix with a string to.
Oh, right. That kind of a price. Oh, I see. They're all stickers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their stickers are their little just pieces of things in front of the stuff that's stacked on the
yes.
on the shelf.
Oh yeah, they have like the little placards. But yeah. you can tell if in an article to celebrate their 50th year anniversary, two items in, they're bragging about how they were one of the first to have gift cards, and that their tag-shaped gift card's the only one in the industry that consumers can identify with their eyes closed.
Yeah.
Which is not, to be fair, not normally some, you know, I've never been in a Best Buy where there's been like a blackout, but the registers are still working and I still need to buy something, but they're like, we can't sit here all day swiping every card you've got. We need to know for sure this is a Best Buy card.
Tom,
mm-hmm.
also, is that that's kind of a dubious, like, gift certificates existed for...
Well, so that's why they said plastic gift cards.
Yeah, so, like, they're like, we were the first to introduce plastic waste into this transaction.
Yeah. Although I will say, like, you know, one of those cards is a lot easier than when you have like a gift certificate and you're not spending it all. And then they have to like cross out the amount and write a new amount.
A lot of times they just give you the cash back.
Well, yeah, sometimes they'll just do that, which is nice.
Because like gift cards are a scam because you're never going to spend exactly $50 at Best Buy. Oh, they'll see to that. Tom.
Oh, even
so, either you're going to spend more and you're mm-hmm. going to make up the difference with cash, or you're going to have like $2 on it, and then they just pocket that. Old man Best Buy just pockets that.
Well, even more than that, Tim. The number of unused gift cards that will just never be used or be lost mm-hmm. or put in a drawer. That's what they're after. That's where the real money is.
And oftentimes, you know, for other retailers, you'll give a gift card to somebody who is blind, and then they just won't know where that card is
right,
from.
And they're like, oh, thanks a lot.
Yeah, so I'll
now
never
I
be able to
go
use
all
this.
Around town swiping this thing.
I got to go to every store.
Yeah.
Try like, it.
God forbid somebody tell me what's printed on here. Sometimes
people are just too proud for their own good, Tom.
Number three, we tried our hand at movie rentals. So, again, you know, number two, they're bragging about plastic gift cards. Number three, we tried something and it didn't work. VCRs and VHS tapes were big business in the mid-1980s. So big, in fact, that they accounted for more than half of our sales growth in 1984. And as home video revenue surpassed ticket sales at movie theaters, we briefly offered video rentals from 1987 to 1990.
And we lost our fucking shirts.
We forgot
the CEO was fired. The CFO changed his identity and moved out of the country.
Oh, boy, we forgot to get people's information before we lent them the tapes. A lot of these tapes just never came back.
A lot, Tom, you know what? They were so inexperienced. They didn't have due dates for anything. It was just like, hey, just take this and bring it back sometime.
Well, yeah, bring it back soon. As soon as you watch it, bring it right back.
Yeah, like the minute you're done with it.
I remember during like the, this is actually a little bit early, but during the like Blockbuster heyday, a bunch of other places trying to get into like, hey, like that's a hot market. Now we start rent, like 7-Elevens would be like, now we rent tapes. And it'd be like, yeah, like renting tapes. Sure. It's pretty straightforward, but I still feel like it's something that can't be added on to another business easily.
Tell that to Redbox, Tom.
Sure, once technology got to that point.
Yeah.
But it wasn't at that point yet.
Yeah. I like the dedicated video store, Tom.
Absolutely.
I don't want to get my Mission Impossible DVD from the dang supermarket.
Supermarkets. That was a big one. I don't want to have a big pile of things at Best Buy that I'm buying and tell them, I'm buying this. This I'm just borrowing for a little while. Come on. You're just going to confuse them. And then all of a sudden they're going to call you up and they're going to say, where's our refrigerator? It's due back by now. Be like, no, I just wanted to borrow Mission Impossible. I wanted to keep the refrigerator.
It was mine to keep from what I understood.
And they're like, no, according to this, you bought Mission Impossible and you just rented our fridge for a week. You'd be like, oh, that would explain why it had old milk in it.
Side note, Tom, do you know how much DVDs, not new movies, but like back catalog DVDs cost at Best Buy these days?
They're like super cheap, right?
They're like $3. You can go and get Wayne's World with director's commentary on DVD for $3.
Wow. Insane.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
If you watch the movie, that's 90 minutes. Then you watch Penelope Spheeris talk about it. That's 3 hours. That's $1 an hour.
Under what circumstances would you buy a DVD nowadays?
To watch a director's commentary. I really miss special features.
I really miss creature features.
Tom, we all miss creature features. Hey, why don't you look at Under My Sink? You'll see some creatures there. Cockroaches.
Right? Do you need help getting rid of them or something?
Nah. I got an exterminator.
I've got one of those situations where you open up underneath the cabinet and all the cockroaches turn at you and go, "Hello, pal." Hey, close that door.
Yeah, I got a real Joe's apartment situation going on in my life.
I completely forgot that. I'm like, where am I getting this idea from? It's Joe's apartment.
Yeah, it was MTV's first movie, and everybody loved it.
Yeah. Tim, number four, Best Buy has helped customers recycle more than 1 billion pounds of e-waste.
Electronic waste.
Yeah.
Look, robots poop out on the weekends.
I've always had trouble finding where those things are at Best Buy.
Yeah, they don't want to take that stuff.
Yeah, it costs them money to take it. They don't usually get anything from it. I mean, I'm sure some stuff, but
what do you do with your old electronics?
Mostly keep them forever.
Yeah, in a box that you move from apartment to apartment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then your wife's like, "Can we get rid of some of this stuff?" And you just go, no, I think I need that because you don't know how to get rid of it.
Actually, I might need a component cable to like the little phono cable that you would plug into a camcorder. I might need that. So
I might need an iPod mini from 2006 that hasn't worked in 14 years.
Yeah. And if I'm going to use that, I'm going to need that 30-pin iPod connector cable to go with it. I mean, otherwise, what am I going to do with it? E-waste should be easier to recycle. I mean, there should just be like, you know, they should do it like the way they do deposits on bottles, where it's like when you buy a new phone or something, there should be like, there's like a $20 deposit on this. And if you bring it back one day to any place that takes this stuff, they'll give you $20 back.
Who would willingly implement that?
Nobody. I mean, the government would
have to
do it.
Apple would be like, oh, yeah, we'll charge an extra $20
that we don't get.
An iPhone that we don't get, and then we also have to dispose of it when they bring it back.
Well, yeah.
Tim Cook's not going to go for that. Tim Cook's no fool.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, a government or something would have to do it. Otherwise, But, I mean, our government's not going to do it as long as we can just keep throwing things out in China. Number five, Tim.
Why are we not? Come on.
What?
You always laugh at me. But we're getting to the point where we could blast a lot of this shit up into space, right?
It's too expensive.
You say that now.
Yeah.
But it's getting cheaper by the day.
But not nearly cheap enough to send garbage into space.
We'll take a lot of garbage every time.
It still costs like a
million. Not going to like, oh yeah, we're just going to take my household garbage for the week into space. No, it'll be me and the whole block. we'll all put our garbage for the whole week in a rocket.
Yeah, you'll just have like a rocket on the corner. You know, it'll just blast off
eventually,
from there. Also, Tim,
you got Bezos, you got Musk, you got Branson.
And you think one of these guys is going to take a back seat to garbage? You think Bezos is going to say, yeah, instead of sending me, send 95 pounds of garbage up into space.
If you could monetize it.
How could you monetize it?
Yeah, I don't know. You charge
I don't know. He's the billionaire. He could figure. Yeah, they do charge for it, Tim, and it costs a lot of money. It costs like $500,000.
Well, that's why you need a lot of garbage. Tom, it's going to work.
Tim, I've been telling you for years, just burn your garbage and then it goes out into space.
And I've been taking that advice. Thank you very much. I've been trying to convince others to do it as well.
There's already too much garbage in space. I mean, there's not too much garbage in space. There's too much garbage orbiting around the Earth and causing problems.
Space junk, Tom.
Yeah, trying to decapitate astronauts out there for a nice spacewalk. All of a sudden, you know, some knucklehead samurai sword that he threw out 20 years ago comes along and lops his head off.
That's why you wouldn't throw out a samurai sword, Tom. Be real. Has anybody ever thrown out a samurai sword?
Tim, they didn't throw it out. They sent it to space hoping it would come back down, and then they would have a space samurai sword that they'd be able to brag to everybody about.
Yeah, and who knows, like, it might come back with powers.
Yeah, it might. There's a pretty good shot that it's going to come back with some kind of powers. They might not be powers that you necessarily want, but it's going to have some kind of powers.
Yeah.
Tim, number five, are Geek Squad agents. Now, I'm speaking as Best Buy, to be clear. I'm not talking about me and you's Geek Squad agents.
Yeah, that's a totally separate squad of geeks.
Our Geek Squad agents make approximately 5 million house calls a year. And you think they only fix broken computers? Guess again.
Shithead.
It says guess again, and then basically it's like they also fix routers.
I
figured they probably did that. Tim, have you ever had any encounters with the Geek Squad?
I have not had the pleasure.
Yeah, you've never. Been at a Best Buy and thought it would be funny to trick somebody from the Geek Squad into the bathroom and give them a nice big swirly.
Because they're geeks?
Yeah.
I remember you used to think that was the most demeaning title.
Yeah, because explain
what the Geek Squad is, Tom.
The Geek Squad, the reason why I found it demeaning is because for a period of time, I was a genius at Apple, at an Apple store.
Mm-hmm.
And now calling somebody that, you know, fixes iPods and computers at the time a genius is a bit of a stretch. But that was, you know, Steve Jobs' idea, so nobody said no to him. But at least it was like complimentary. A genius? Who wouldn't want to be considered a genius? Whereas a geek, you know, that comes from like the carnival days.
Yeah, but maybe it shows that they can be a little self-deprecating. They have a sense of humor, Tom, in the way that a genius. How many of your fellow geniuses took that title a little too seriously? And just like, hey, you're still working retail.
Some took it a little too seriously. But it was also actually the bigger problem was that the word lost all meaning. So we would use the word all the time and like not really think of, you know, like the actual meaning of genius. And, you know, sometimes you would just like mention it to people that didn't know that. And they'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about? I have to go take it to the back to some genius. No, I don't need a genius. I just need somebody to, you know, put a new battery in this thing or something. So that's why I found the Geek Squad to me. Also, the Geek Squad, I mean, I did not envy them because, as I mentioned from this article, they did house calls, which, like, Jesus, I would never, ever, ever want to do any kind of house call for anything.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, you understand that some businesses, you do, like, you can't be a plumber who doesn't make
house calls. I know, but I'm just saying, you know, they have my respect because that's something I would never want to do because I don't like going into strangers' homes.
Well, I don't like being that's not what the police say. They say that you like to go in and do some creepy crawlies.
Different. It's different if nobody's there, Tim.
Yeah, or if they're sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, we would have like, you know, sometimes like we were expressly forbidden from ever going to anyone's house. And like sometimes we would have, especially on Long Island, we would have, you know, like celebrities who lived out in the Hamptons. And they would, you know, to them, it's like, oh, you helped me out. Or celebrities are like, you know, a celebrity's assistant or something. Mm-hmm. And be like, oh, you helped me out and you were nice. I'll gladly pay you $1,000 to just like come to my house and change the Wi-Fi password.
Let me sleep with your
wife. And let me sleep. Oh, with a genius's wife.
Yeah.
Wow. A real indecent proposal.
Exactly. Did you field a lot of indecent proposals at the Genius Bar?
Not indecent proposals. Propositions, perhaps.
Yeah.
But not
did a lot of people come in and it's like, well, this guy's a genius. So I'm gonna try to bed a genius.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll siphon some of his powers.
And no one's trying to bed a geek, Tom. The Geek Squad
mm-hmm.
was originally its own independent company.
Yes, I knew that.
Best Buy. They only became affiliated with Best Buy in 2002.
Yep.
It's wild.
Yeah, it was like as a response to the Genius Bar that was like, well, we need something like this. I mean, it's also, I'm sure for Best Buy, that's like one of their most profitable, you know, areas.
Yeah.
Because everything else they're selling nowadays,
the
they're selling on like a
router.
They're selling on such a razor thin margin. That it's like, oh, if we can get paid $100 to mount a TV to somebody's wall, there's a lot more.
You don't have to pay this
that.
Geek barely anything.
Yeah, exactly. They pay this geek, you know, maybe $20 an hour to do that, and then we take the other $80.
Can I tell you one thing I really don't like about the Best Buy experience, Tom? And was it always this way?
Mm-hmm.
That when you buy something as minor as like a cable or a printer cartridge at Best Buy.
I know what you're going to say.
That you're trying to be upsold in 20,000 different ways, be it warranties, be it like other products, be it the Best Buy credit card.
Yes.
And then you had to give so much information to them. Mm. What is that all about? Why do they do this? It really makes it, like, every time I go to Best Buy, every time I buy something at Best Buy, as soon as I, like, start the transaction, I remember, like, oh, shit, this is why I don't go to Best Buy and buy things.
When I used to work in Union Square in Manhattan, I would go to that Best Buy all the time. But, like, whenever I was buying, so, like, usually I would go there to, like, buy new video games, you know, like, this new game's coming out, I'm going to. Donkey Kong Jr., Q-Bert Jr. I would always do in-store pickup because so many times I made the mistake where I was like, oh, they're you know, I'm going to buy the new, I don't know, Uncharted game. And I know they're going to have a billion copies of this, you know. They don't run out of things anymore when it's like, oh, we just have to press more Blu-ray discs. Okay. So sometimes I wouldn't reserve one, and then I would promptly remember, like, oh boy, yeah, I have to like ask somebody to get it, and then they're going to ask me a million questions. But if you do in-store pickup, like, you just have to show them your receipt on your phone and your ID.
Yeah, and then they look around for 45 minutes, and then they have to ask another guy why it isn't back there.
For some reason, at the Union Square one, I don't think they were even that organized. It was maybe just a lot of people didn't do pickups there. Like, it was always pretty quick. I was always impressed. But along those lines,
pickups at that Union Square one time, and it was not quick.
Nah. Well, what were you picking up?
A touch of the Best Buy bad luck.
I also like
refrigerator.
Tim, I told you to stop buying those refrigerators. You don't have to get a new one every year just because they've got, you know, the new version of Android and the touchscreen on the front.
They're colder, Tom. Every year they come out with a colder refrigerator, and I need to get the coldest one.
No, at that Best Buy at Union Square, I know I've complained about this to you before. You have to take an escalator to get to, like, the main showroom, which is another thing that's, like, pickups on the first floor, escalator, you have to go upstairs. At the top of the stairs, they have a fucking table with people trying to get you to change your energy company.
Yeah.
Like things that are normal.
And
like,
you get bamboozled every time.
No, I mean, it's just these things that are normally, like, on the street and annoying. But it's like, this is the first thing coming into your store. Somebody's like, hey, pal, how would you like a new pair of Bose headphones? And then if you're like, no, I'm not interested, they're like, what, you don't like free stuff? And it's like, no, but you're selling some fucking scam electric alternative or whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just never understood what kind of business would be like, you know what, we should lease space to another business that harasses our customers as they enter the store.
Because they're the only game in town. When you have very few places to get what you need to get. Because, like, the only reason you're in Best Buy is because you need it that day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, nowadays.
Otherwise,
that's
you
certainly
would just order it and it would be delivered. Mm-hmm. So, like, they're just like, there's nowhere. Like, they got you over a barrel, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either that or, like, you are dumb and you don't know about, like, ordering stuff online, so you
in
might
which case,
also
you don't care. They also, like,
you might also switch your energy provider at a Best Buy.
They rent out space in the aisles to professional pickpockets.
Whoa,
pickpocket
is that
will
true?
Be like, yeah, I'll give you 20% of anything that I find in your customer's wallets.
Wow. Now you would think they would be worried about those pickpockets stealing inventory.
Nah, I mean, the pickpockets know where their bread's buttered. They're good at picking pockets. They're not good at shoplifting merchandise.
Along those lines, Tim, I don't know if they still do this. They must, though. Best Buy was always big on the monster cables.
Yeah.
The cable that comes with, you know, whatever you're buying, that shit's not good enough. It's not gold-plated. It's not built to the standards that a monster would require.
Monster cables is, I think, one of my favorite scams because it's so easy to do your research and just know that, like, they're if anything worse than the standard version.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like all branding and all smoke and mirrors. And it's nice to see that there's something that is just like. Like, it's just like wellness tonics from from like the 1880s or something.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just one of those companies, and it's quaint. It's nice.
Well, it's funny to me that they were pulling all that stuff. You know, they're not nearly as prevalent as they used to be. They got bought by somebody, right?
Probably.
I think
they
got
eaten
bought
by an actual monster. So,
I think they got
monster.
Bought by Beats, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny to me just because they were selling cables that were like, I don't know, nonsense that you didn't need. Whereas like nowadays there actually is a legitimate, like, you know, a lot of like power cables for your phone or whatever. It's like, you probably shouldn't buy that at like a gas station or on Amazon unless it's from like a known brand because you know, this could just be from like a company that doesn't exist and therefore doesn't care if it burns your house down because it overheats. You know, if Monster were around, they could be that reliable brand of braided nylon cables.
Tom, that sound you hear is me breathing a sigh of relief that it took a full hour for you to start talking about some minutia about some fucking cables that nobody cares about. We made it to the end of the episode. I was afraid we were going to hit like minute 36 and you'd be like, you know, off-brand cables are dangerous and a scam.
Well, Tim, I'm saving all that stuff for our Patreon episode this week about off-brand cables.
Cable chat. What can we call it? Wise guys on wires.
Best Buy's Wise Guys.
Wires edition.
Talking ties, and then in parentheses it will say cable, like cable ties. So if cool. You want to hear that show and more, patreon.com/complete guide is where you can find it. No, right now we're doing Books of Podcasts. We're reading the novelization of Junior, the movie starring Arnold Schwarzenegger, and more.
Oh, it was a movie?
It was, Tim. The novelization was so successful.
I just
successful.
Thought it was a really well-written book.
You can find that at patreon.com/complete guide to get all the back stuff. TCGT.com is where you can find just about everything you'd ever want. Except a link to BestBuy.com. But you could just go to BestBuy.com if you want to go there.
Yeah.
You can follow us on Instagram at TCGTE. Follow us on Twitter at Complete Guide. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Tom Reynolds.
Follow me at your pal Tim.
Check out our Reddit, r/TCGTE. And check out our Discord.
Don't do multi-week bits there. Nobody likes it. It's not funny.
What do you mean?
There's just, don't worry about it. You can get more news fighters at foofighters.com/news.
Tim, what are you doing? You're advertising the competitor. Oh, yeah. I thought we were trying to steal traffic away from foofighters.com/news.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, are we really going to cover?
I'll say this:
if Mick Jagger and Dave Grohl recording a song called "Easy Sleazy" together.
I wish we had, but it's not news anymore, Tim.
Yeah, I know exactly. So people can go.
I'd like for this podcast to eventually get to the point where people say to each other, "Don't believe it just because you read it on foofires.com/news. Make sure you heard it from News Fighters, the segment on." The Complete Guide to Everything.
Yeah. And we'll devote the first 10 minutes of every episode.
And eventually it will grow and grow depending on how much news is available. We'll do some retro news. You know, we'll be like, what was, you know, today in Foo Fighters news 20 years ago.
Today, the Foo Fighters ask, does HIV really lead to AIDS? Nate Mendel's answer might surprise you.
Tim, I was also reading about how one of the few controversies that Best Buy has had, that apparently at one point the FBI was hiring Geek Squad employees to basically be like child porn finders.
Huh.
Which makes, I mean, if you're working...
Do you think a lot of Geek Squad employees were sweating a little bit?
Well, you're not going to check everything, are you? no, but I'm imagining if you're working at Best Buy, the Geek Squad, and an FBI agent approaches you and is like, how would you like to be a deputy? You'd be like, oh, hell yeah. When I worked at Apple, I worked with the FBI once. And it was the coolest thing ever. I couldn't believe this FBI guy was telling us so many stories. It felt like I
they
was
were
in
all a, bullshit.
It felt
they're
like I was an
James
FBI
Comey
agent too.
Freaking goofballs.
When he was leaving, I asked him, "Would you consider me an FBI agent right now?" And he said, "No, I'd consider you one of the best agents I've ever met."
We'll see you next week. We'll be right back.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.